Hello, this is Nancy Pippin with the Pantograph for Wednesday, March the 7th, 2018. We will begin today's reading on the front page with the article headlined, State Farm to Cut Bloomington Normal Jobs. About 890 non-management analyst positions are being cut in Bloomington as part of State Farm's ongoing realignment of its information technology division. The company has plans to add at least 300 jobs in its local claims department. About 380 of the IT positions are being moved to State Farm's three larger hubs, 30 to Atlanta, 70 to Dallas, and 280 to Phoenix. The insurer said its Bloomington-based workforce will remain at around 15,000 employees. The company has nearly 70,000 employees across the U.S., including 23,000 employed at the hubs. Some of the employees affected will have opportunities to move to other positions, apply for other positions within the company, or relocate to other State Farm locations. Some employees also could choose to retire or pursue opportunities outside of State Farm. Others may be eligible for severance benefits, said State Farm. Last fall, the insurer began its process of realigning its IT areas from three departments into one, which the company now calls Enterprise Technology. As this process continues, employees recently learned additional information about next steps, including some staffing reductions, the company said in a statement released after a live meeting online Tuesday morning with the Enterprise Technology, or ET, employees at the company's locations throughout the United States. You are likely hearing many numbers or percentages, but it's important to understand these numbers include employees located in various locations across the country and or percentages based on areas within our ET function, said State Farm. We previously announced approximately 250 claims positions will move to Bloomington from Tacoma, said the company. We also anticipate at least 300 additional claims positions in Bloomington. We believe enterprise technology employees may be competitive for some of these positions. The IT realignment will better serve customers, increasing expectation for simpler, faster technology-driven ways to do business with our company, said the company. State Farm Enterprise Technology operations will continue to be located in the three hubs and Bloomington, with the majority of the operations remaining in Bloomington, said the company. What we can tell you is by the end of the realignment, we expect to see an overall reduction of approximately 500 non-management professional-level IT jobs across State Farm, said the statement. The overall State Farm Bloomington workforce will remain at around 15,000 employees as hundreds of employees move in and out of the company Bloomington facilities every year. This means that while we're reducing in the enterprise technology department of our other departments, we'll move people to Bloomington. Just like any business, we must continually look for ways to evolve towards the future and serve our customers in a more efficient way, said the company. Reviewing and adjusting our processes, departments, and facilities helps position the company and its employees for the future and remain strong for State Farm policyholders. The company was not releasing any additional information beyond what it provided in the statement, said State Farm spokeswoman Missy Dundov. The company declined to release the number of IT employees it has and the amount of savings anticipated with the department realignment. The State Farm announcement follows the release last week of the company's year-end financial statement. State Farm Property Casualty Companies reported a pre-tax operating loss of $1.7 billion for 2017, but the company's net worth still increased. A combined $6.5 billion underwriting loss on earned premiums of $63.9 billion in 2017 was the major contributor to the 2017 operating loss. In comparison, the underwriting loss for 2016 was $5.5 billion and earned premiums of $61.7 billion. The company said its underwriting loss in 2017 was driven by significant catastrophe losses from major hurricanes, winter storms, and wildfires. Investment and other income of $4.8 billion, an increase of $400 million over the previous year, helped to offset the underwriting loss to reduce the overall operating loss. The net worth for the State Farm Group ended the year at $97 billion, up from $86.7 billion at the end of 2016, according to figures the Bloomington-based insurer released on Thursday. In addition to the information technology restructuring, State Farm also is adjusting its real estate footprint across the country, including pulling out of downtown Bloomington building that once served as the company's headquarters. The company has since not said whether the building will be sold. Since the company announced last year it was closing 11 facilities across the U.S., over the next 4 years, two call centers in Tacoma, Washington, have been added to the closure list. Below our article on State Farm is a lovely picture of bicyclists rolling through a mostly shady Constitution Trail on Saturday near the Hidden Creek Nature Sanctuary in Normal, and a picture of a jogger who's casting a shadow onto a fence Saturday along East College Avenue in Normal. And the title of our article is Locals Seek Winter's End, Cool Temperatures to Continue for at Least Another Week. The calendar says spring begins in less than 2 weeks, but Twin City residents such as Tom Fahler are more than anxious for its arrival. Bundled up in a heavy coat Tuesday morning while walking in downtown Bloomington, Fahler was complaining about the weather forecasters who haven't yet declared that winter is over. As the winter goes along, I've changed the way I look at it. A forecast, he said. I used to look at the first 2 to 3 days of the forecast and not worry about what's coming in 5 to 6 days. Now I look at the back end of the forecast to see when weather is coming. That's all I care about. Fowler will be disappointed to know that the latest long-range forecast indicates temperatures are not expected to rise above 45. Still, there are signs that spring is coming. Daylight savings time begins on Sunday, the first day of the astronomical spring follows on March the 20th, the equinox, and for meteorologists, spring record-keeping officially began on March the 1st. But does that mean that we are through with winter for this year? Oh, no, said Kirk Hoodle, a meteorologist for the National Weather Service in Lincoln. We can still get winter storms in March and even in early April. There are no indications that a major system will affect central Illinois anytime soon, he said. The forecast includes the possibility of snow showers Friday, but significant accumulation is not expected. The average McLean County snowfall for March is less than 2 inches, Hewlett says. But it does mean that we couldn't get another significant storm, but all we see now is what we have seen most of the year, which is some unsettled patterns moving through, dropping a little bit of rain and some occasional snow showers, he said. The last significant snowfall was in early February, the last time a winter storm warning was issued in McLean County was in February 23rd of 2016. While not much snow fell last month, a lot of rain did. February 2018 was one of the driest on record until the sudden big storms with heavy rainfall rolled in on the end of the month. The month finished as one of the wettest on record for the state. The Climate Prediction Center part of the National Weather Service is predicting above average precipitation in March, April, and May, said Scott Baker, again, the meteorologist for the National Weather Service in Lincoln. The average precipitation for Illinois is around 2 inches in March, 4 inches in April, and 5 inches in May. Temperature forecasts are unclear, but may remain around average, and the average temperature for Illinois is 43 degrees in March, 55 in April, and 65 in May, Baker just said. The projection for this month includes temperatures in the 30s and 40s for the first half of the month, and temperatures getting warmer back towards the end of the month, said Baker said. We're really about normal right now as far as temperature goes, Hoodle said. We are getting close to being about normal as far as precipitation. Terry Foster, who farms in rural Bloomington, said he is keeping an eye on the moisture in his fields, and despite a lack of snow this winter, he feels optimistic. The soil moisture appears to be pretty good right now, and it's really been a long time since these fields were dry, he said. If it were warmer, I would be thinking about getting into the fields once it dries out, but we are looking at early April as a starting point right now. And arrogant Major Charles Emerson Winchester III on the legendary TV series MASH that for 40 years is still airing even after 40 years of the reruns. Do you know David Ogden Stier's tie to Central Illinois? Well, let me see if I can share that with you. He was... Oh my goodness, where's our fact? Ah, Stiers was born in Peoria and then attended Urbana High. That's also where one of his classmates was the future film critic, Roger Ebert. Stiers was 75 when he passed, so he will be missed. Okay, and now we're going to... The announcement was made Tuesday on www.whitehouse.gov as part of the president's fifth wave of nominations of marshal candidates. The United States Marshal performs essential functions of protecting the federal judiciary by apprehending fugitives, transporting prisoners, and protecting witnesses. Read from a statement from the White House, the candidates share the president's vision for making America safe again. Hefner was one of six nominees to fill appointments and one of two from Illinois. Bradley Maxwell, the St. Louis manager and chief uniform security for the Boeing company in St. Louis, has been nominated for the same post with Southern District, Illinois. U.S. Senators Dick Durbin and Tammy Duckworth congratulated both, and they're through many years of service to Illinois. Hefner and Bradley have demonstrated strong qualifications to serve as United States Marshal, said the Democratic senators in record keeping. In a joint statement, they expressed, "We expect them to serve with professionalism, responsibility, and a clear focus on the mission of the Marshal's Service. We look forward to seeing their nominations through the Senate." Hefner confirmed the nomination Tuesday afternoon, but did not return calls seeking more comment. While I am honored to have received this nomination, it still must be voted on and approved by the Congress, he said in a statement released by the Bloomington Police Department on Tuesday. Bloomington Mayor Chowry Renner said he had been aware of the possible nomination, but does not know exactly what's the timeline and how it will be followed. Chief Hefner has done an outstanding job in our community as police chief and before that even as a normal police officer, the mayor said. This nomination isn't too surprising, and we are very proud of him. It's an outstanding honor. We would really love to keep him, but we understand that this is too important to pass up, and we wish him the best of luck on his nomination. Bloomington hired Hefner, 58, in September of 2013. Illinois State University graduate, worked as a patrolman and detective in the Normal Police Department, and retired in 2010 from the Illinois State Police Division of Internal Investigations, and was working as a safety and security specialist for State Farm at the time. And then soon, shortly thereafter, became its chief. Hefner will be reviewed by the Senate Judiciary Committee, of which Durbin is a member. If the committee approves, the nomination will go to the full Senate for consideration. Republican U.S. Representatives Rodney Davis of Taylorville and Darren LaHood of Dunlap congratulated Hefner on the nomination in a statement released Tuesday. It's been our belief that he will make an excellent U.S. Marshal and serve our country well, just as he served Bloomington, Normal Community, and the State Farm and the state of Illinois before, more or less, the 30 years ago, they said. There's no doubt he will do all, said Normal Police Chief Rick Bleckner. Given his history and his Illinois State Police and his leadership with the leadership of the Bloomington Police Department, I look forward to working with him in that capacity. The U.S. Marshals Service is the nation's oldest and most versatile federal law enforcement agency, according to the U.S. Marshals historian David Turk, where there are 94 U.S. Marshals, one of each congressional district, and federal deputies or deputy marshals and criminals need a lot of investigating. And overall, there are 43,000 of these deputy marshals and criminal investigators throughout the district. And now we move to page 3 in the local news. We have a short article about the food court down to 1, and then we'll go back and possibly look at some of today's facts and history. Food court down to 1. CBL no plans for remaining vendor to leave Eastland Mall. The Eastland Mall food court is down to a single vendor, but mall owner CBL Property said it has no plans to leave. The Great Steak is the remaining food vendor left in the mall's 28-year-old food court after Kobe's Barbecue Japanese Express closed last week. Kobe's had opened in the food court in 2008. I don't have any information on why they closed, but their last day of business was February 28th, said CBL spokeswoman Melissa Cavanaugh. The Pantograph was unable to reach the owner of the shuttered restaurant for comment. Great Steak was among the initial eateries to locate in the food court when it was developed in 1990. In the past, the food court featured as many as 7 fast food restaurants located around the central seating area in the space formerly occupied by Roland's department store. That leaves one current food court vendor, Great Steak. We've heard nothing about them leaving, said Cavanaugh. We absolutely are looking for new tenants, she added, and that philosophy and business standpoint extends to the food court as well. While there are no definite plans for the food court, there are constantly conversations happening and things in the works that are not at the point where CBL can talk about them yet, she said. Meanwhile, part of the former JCPenney store at the mall will be filled by Planet Fitness and family clothing retailer H&M. Outback Steakhouse also will move from the Lakewood Plaza shopping center to a new building being constructed at the mall. A fence is being erected around the Outback construction site in the northeast corner of the mall property. A land lease agreement calls for Outback to construct and lease the building while CBL will retain ownership of the land. H&M plans to open its 20,000 square foot store this fall. An Eastland Mall site plan on CBL's website noted the fitness center could also open this fall. As far as I know, we're on schedule to open as they had planned, said Cavanaugh. CBL is still evaluating plans for the former Macy's anchor space, and while Kohl's announcement earlier this month it was bringing discount grocer Aldi into 10 of its stores later this year in a pilot test, CBL has not received any notice from Kohl's that its Eastland anchor could be among those sites. Now let's look at Flicks Fact. The question is, actor David Ogden Stiers, who played the aristocratic, arrogant Major Charles Emerson Winchester III on the legendary TV series MASH, after 40 years later still airs in reruns, has passed. Do you know his tie to Central Illinois? Well, the fact is, he was born in Peoria and was part of the class attended Urbana High School, and it was also where one of his classmates was the future film critic Roger Ebert. Stiers was 75. And now let's look quickly at some of the road closures. Oakland Avenue in Bloomington, Oakland Avenue at the intersection with Gridley Street will be closed beginning at 7 a.m. Wednesday for sewer repair work. Wood and Summit Streets in Bloomington, the intersection of Wood and Summit in Bloomington is closed to all traffic for sewer repair until the work is completed. Also, we find that in the Daily Digest, a panel exploring black politics in the age of Trump will be at 4 p.m. March 28th in the Rosa Parks Room of Waterson Tower, Illinois State University. The event is sponsored by the Illinois State's African American Studies Program and the Department of History. It is free and open to the public. Speakers will include Adrian Dixon of the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign, Cedric Johnson of the University of Illinois at Chicago, and activist Jason Lee. And a reception will follow the panel discussion and questions and answers. A Q&A session will also take place. If you're looking for things to do this week, and you can look check this out in the Pantograph later in the week, the potent allures of toys and nostalgia are about to turn the third floor of the McLean County Museum of History into a garden of childhood delights with a new exhibit, Pedal Power, which will be opening Saturday. You can find out more about it in our See Our Go section by seeing our Go section on Thursday. And Friday, the Illinois State women's basketball team begins play in the Missouri Valley Tournament in Moline. Check out our sports section for coverage. Here briefly in local news, we have a picture on page A4 of the Illinois Department of Transportation and Highway worker Chad Andres and Zachary Miller, both of the IDOT sign shop in Champaign, hanging up a sign in the 700 block of North Main Street in Normal Tuesday, noting the presence of a driveway to the Normal Fire Department's new headquarters station. So that's something you'll want to be aware of. And in the area calendar, we have Chef's Focus meeting, or Chief's Focus meeting at 5:30 p.m. Wednesday, Osborne Room, the Bloomington Police Department with Chief Brandon Hefner that we just heard about. And he will talk about the topics of canine units with canine officer Justin Shively, canine and his canine Lex, and Officer Jeff Widmeyer with canine Officer Roscoe. And this will be open and address questions and concerns. Author Jin-Lin Yang will be available on Wednesday at the Normal Public Library from 7 to 8 p.m. The speaker is the former National Ambassador for Young People's Literature. And Teaching Digitally Age-Minded Students will be available at 7 p.m. Wednesday in the Hanson Student Center at Illinois Wesleyan University in Bloomington. The speaker will be Carlos Astareta, University of Delaware, and part of Robert S. Eckley Lecture Series in Economics. So that concludes our first half. We'll take a short break and stay tuned for the second half hour of the Pantograph for Wednesday, March the 7th, 2018. Please stay tuned.